This material is owned and copyrighted by Wealth Education and all rights reserved. No portion can be reproduced or distributed and is not legal or tax advice. See REIAssociation.com full terms and conditions.
In a world where bosses control your life and thoughts of escape fill your mind, where inspiration seems dead and playing it safe is risky, you have a desire to break free. You feel the need to take control. Now, there's a place where the secrets of wealth are given to those who believe. The official, universally recognized REIA. REI Association.
Well, welcome to the Training Greats. Scott Flatimer here about a neat opportunity with very little competition. So pay close attention to this one because, as you'll hear, it's a great time to get started in this, whether you're a beginner in real estate or you want to add to your existing income. And the expert in the field to explain this opportunity is my friend, Joe Varnador. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, Scott. Nice to be here this morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. And let me introduce you all to Joe. He used Creative Real Estate when he was just 19 years old to get his first investment property. And since then, he has brokered, bought, and sold more than 10,000 residential and commercial real estate notes. But not only an investor, Joe has written and spoken about notes, and most important to our training call for the past 25 years, Joe has trained people like you and I to use non-performing notes to acquire properties and seller financing to cash out. And that's a really cool business model, Joe, using notes to get property and then the seller financing to cash it out. When we talked earlier, you told me there's never been a greater opportunity for investors to use notes for getting them and then seller financing to cash out. So explain why a note is so hot right now and even what a note is.
Okay, Scott. Well, the banks had figured it out a long time ago. They figured that it was much better to be the bank than it was to be the landlord. So the note business has brought my real estate investing business full circle. And guys, just before we get started, I kind of want to qualify this, that I certainly don't want to take you out of your bricks and mortar real estate business. What I want to do is show you how to bolt the note business onto your existing real estate investment business. And by doing that, I'm sure you can more than double your current income when you include and you know about the note business, everything that goes along with that. So with that, you know, we talk about the note business, and a lot of folks, Scott, they just really don't understand. And the reason they don't understand it is just because it's something that's very simple. But we kind of sat down a long time and said, how can we explain in a very simple term what a note really is? And so I always ask everybody when I'm giving a talk at one of the real estate investment associations, I'll say, guys, are you guys in the note business? And one or two people will raise their hand and say, yeah, you know, I've bought and sold a note. And then I'll pop up on the screen and I'll say, well, guys, you all have a checking account, don't you? And they go, yeah. I said, well, you're all in the note business. So just imagine a check as a promissory note. If I were to write you a check for $1,000, Scott, and you didn't have a checking account, you know, your options for that these days would be very limited as far as how you would cash that check and how you would get your money. So you would most likely take that to a check cashing store, and that check cashing store would look at that check, and then they would put their, whatever they do to determine how much they would pay you for that check, but they're certainly not going to pay you $1,000. They're going to buy that check or that note at a discount. And that's exactly what we do in the note business. But more specifically, I'm sure that every one of you that are a member of Scott's group and that's listening today has bought a property. And if you've bought a property and you've gone to a bank and you financed that property, one of the most important pieces of paper for the lender that you sign is the promissory note. So just understand that note, that promissory note, is your promise to pay, and it contains the terms of the loan, the amortization, how long you're going to take to pay that back. Is it a 20-year loan, or is it a 30-year loan, or a 10-year loan? It shows what the interest rate is. Are there any special clauses, like a balloon in the loan? It shows all of the terms of that loan, and that is your promise to pay. So So think about it like this. When you buy a property, and most states these days are what we call judicial states, so you go to a closing table, you buy the property, you're financing it through the bank. At closing, you're going to get the deed to the property, and the bank is going to get the promissory note. So the promissory note is what you sign, and that's your promise to pay. And if you don't pay the loan on your house or on your investment property, then the bank will move to foreclose. And to foreclose, what they're having to do is they're having to sue you to get back the deed to the property. So a note really is very simple. You've all been in the note business. If you've got a checking account, you're in the note business. And obviously, if you've financed a property, you're in the note business as well. So why are notes so hot today? Well, what we say at Note School is that really notes are the new REO properties, real estate owned. And I'm sure that many of you, after the crash in 2007-2008, you found yourself buying bank-owned properties. And we were getting buying those at a very deep discount. I know that I was. I was able to buy those at about 50 to 60% of value. And it was great. And also participated in some short sales. But what we found and what we know is that inventory of REO properties has started to shrink. And as a matter of fact, Scott, we know that at this point in time, there are only about 300,000 bank-owned properties in the United States. Now, listen to this, and I'm going to say it twice, but we know that there are about 9 million non-performing notes. Now, what's a non-performing note? Well, a non-performing note, obviously, is you've borrowed the money, you're not paying your payments, so you are in default, okay? So that when you're in default, then your loan becomes a non-performing loan. And there's about 9 million non-performing first mortgages that are out there. So, Scott, that's an amazing number of non-performing notes that are out there. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would. Now, you said there's two categories of notes, non-performing and performing, and the bigger money is in the non-performing. So explain what a non-performing note is and how savvy investors like us are making money with them.
There's non-performing notes, and those are notes that aren't paying, and let me get into that in just a second. And then there are performing notes, which simply the borrowers are paying monthly as agreed. Under that non-performing side of that, there are sub-performing notes, which means that the borrower pays about once every couple of months. And then obviously on the performing side, there are re-performing notes. So what is a non-performing note? Well, and how does all of that work? And really, where's the opportunity for us as real estate investors? Well, when a borrower stops paying their payments on their house, something happens and the internally inside of the lending institution. And by the way, we're not only talking about banks like Bank of America and JP Morgan Chase and Regions and HSBC. We're also talking about Fannie and Freddie and HUD. And so not only are we talking about regular commercial banks, but we're talking about the government-sponsored entities, or GSEs, which would be those, you know, Freddie and Fannie and HUD. So you stop making your payment, and when you miss your first payment, the lender is going to send you a note saying, hey, you know, you're past due. Send us a monthly payment. And then you become 2 months past due, and you still haven't made a payment, and they're still trying to contact you. And then as the third payment becomes due, it becomes a little more serious inside the lending institution. And after your 90 days past due, most lenders are going to send you a letter, and it's going to be something called a notice of default. Well, when they send you that notice of default, what they're saying is you're not paying your loan. So if you do not start paying your loan, then we're going to foreclose on your property. And you know, the interesting thing, Scott, is that, man, you can be one payment past due and you can call the bank and you can say, hey, here's my payment, and they'll accept one payment. But once you've become more than 90 days delinquent, well, you can't call the bank up and say, hey, I would like to make a payment on my loan. They'll tell you, oh, Scott, we won't let you make that one payment. You need to pay all of the past due payments. So what happens then is the bank is going to make you three offers, and one's going to be to modify your loan. Hey, Scott, I know you're past due. If you can meet some of the criteria that we have, then we'll try to modify the loan for you. And then secondly, if that doesn't work, we'll allow you to sign the deed back over to us, and we won't, you know, go after the foreclosure. You're just going to give us the deed in lieu of us foreclosing. And number three, is that, hey, we're going to have to foreclose on you. So, you know, to go back to that number of, and by the way, I want to throw this in there as well, and I'm sure a lot of your folks have heard of HAMP and HARP modifications, the Homeowners Affordability Refinance Program and the Homeowner Affordability Modification Program, HAMP and HARP. But Scott, of those programs that have been completed or that homeowners that have actually gone through that, about 60% of those HAMP and HARP modifications redefault within 18 months of the modification. And that number is astounding. And the biggest reason that you have such a high default rate on those modifications that, you know, our government pushes is that they don't immediately drop the unpaid balance of the loan to at least what the property is currently worth. So let me give you an example. I had a good friend of mine that I went to school with, and he contacted me about a year and a half ago and said, Joe, I lost my job. I haven't been able to pay my mortgage payment. My lender, IndyMac. And they told me that I qualified for a HAMP modification. I said, great. So I helped him with it. And the challenge was, is he owes $280,000 on his house, and it's currently worth $180,000. So he's clearly $100,000 underwater or upside down on that. And so if he pays, and according to the modification, if he pays on time over a three-year period, then the lender will forgive that $100,000 between the part that's underwater, the part between 280 and 180. But if he gets behind again at any time during that, then that goes away. So he doesn't get the write down, and at that point you're kind of trapped in a house that you just really can't do anything with. So it's a real challenge. But I want to read you some stats here as far as the banks and the government sponsored entities as far as what's going on there. We know there's like 9 million non-performing loans. So J.P. Morgan just sold off $390 million, J.P. Morgan Chase, in non-performing loans. HSBC Holdings just sold off $1 billion in unpaid balance. Regions just sold off $700 million in non-performing loans. And the reason that they're having to do that is because the government is finally saying, you guys need to get these things out of your inventory. You need to get them off of your books. HUD, by the way, this is an astounding number, and I'm sure a lot of your folks have heard of the shadow inventory. And HUD right now owns about 25,000 homes that they've foreclosed on. So they've completed the foreclosure, and that's REO inventory for them. But HUD has about 740 non-performing loans on their books. 740,000. Fannie and Freddie, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they own about, have foreclosed on about 140,000 properties. And they have approximately 950,000 non-performing loans on their books. Now, Scott, they started selling some of these. As a matter of fact, HUD sold 23,000 non-performing loans last June 11th, to be specific. Now, could you imagine selling 23,000 of anything in an auction, but let alone 23,000 non-performing loans in one day? And, right. You know, the hedge funds, by the way, the private equity firms, are buying these. And specifically, there was about 8 hedge funds that bought that 23,000 loans. They kind of split them up. hedge funds like Granite and Condor and Roosevelt and Watermark and Bayview, and just to name a few. A few days later, they sold another 4,800 non-performing loans. Then in September, they sold another 15,000. And so HUD sold about 91,000. So Freddie Mac started selling loans in August of last summer. And they completed in their first sale, they completed a sale of $659 million in non-performing loans. Hey, and by the way, Scott, right now as taxpayers, through Fannie and Freddie, we guarantee about $4.5 trillion in mortgages in the U.S. That's about 80% of the mortgages that are out there. 2005, that number was about, I think it was around about 30%. So, and just recently, three banks specifically, Bank of America and Country, which owns Countrywide, and Washington Mutual and Bear Stearns, just sold another $890 million in what they call vintage debt. So I'm going to read this to you, Scott. It says, the majority of subprime debt in this offering is from the height of the subprime lending bubble, 2006 and 7, although there was one line item from Countrywide from 2004. So what that means is that these loans haven't been paid on in that long. Which carried, and this group of loans carried an original face value of $964 million is what they were worth, these loans, in 2006 and 7. They currently have a face value of about $45.5 million. So just crazy numbers when you're talking about $1.1 billion in total debt there. And it goes on. Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, they just sold another $4.5 billion in non-performing loans. So really, what happened and why did all of this start? Well, there were some crazy loans made back in the day, and the banks really, even the GSEs, the government-sponsored entities, they were just holding these loans and not foreclosing simply because they didn't want to own all of these properties at one time. And you can imagine, just imagine having to foreclose on a million, two, three, four, five, six, 7 million properties. And when we look at the statistics tell us that between 2008 and 2013, over a five-year period, there was 4.5 million foreclosures and short sales completed. So the banks just said, look, we're going to stop foreclosing simply because it's not in our best interest. What we're going to do is we're going to take these non-performing loans that we have in inventory, and we're going to bundle them in bundles, in pools of loans. And it may be 1,000, it may be with HUD, it may be 23,000 loans. And we're going to sell the non-performing loan in an auction process to hedge funds. And some of the hedge funds that I mentioned there are some of the buyers, Granite and Condor and Apollo and Bayview and all of those. So we're going to sell those in bulk, and we're going to clear our books of these. Now, we can't do them all at once, but we're going to parcel them out there and let the industry go in and assimilate or get these loans and try to work these out, because obviously we just can't do it. So the opportunity really for us is to work with hedge funds. And by the way, that's what we do at Note School, is we teach our students on the non-performing side how to work with the hedge funds to buy these loans, these non-performing loans, on a one-off basis. Okay, now you can buy them one at a time, or two at a time, or 10 at a time. And just so you'll have a little, everybody will have a little background there. Understand that when a hedge fund, if they buy 1,000 loans from a bank or whomever it is they're buying them from, they immediately order a broker price opinion, a BPO. They immediately check titles to make sure there's a clear first mortgage there. And once they do that, they put all of these non-performing loans on a on a spreadsheet. The industry calls it a tape. And then, you know, our folks can go in, our note school students can then go directly to these hedge funds and buy these. And the price is really what gets you, Scott, because instead of people, you know, we see people all over the country now, they're paying 80 to 90% of value for REO properties or bank auctions and things like that. We're able to buy these non-performing loans from the hedge funds for 20 to 50% of current value. I'll repeat that, 20 to 50% of current value. So let's kind of put that into perspective. We've got a guy that owes $110,000 on his house. It's worth about $80,000, so clearly he's $30,000 underwater. He hasn't made a payment in 3.5 years. He hasn't been contacted by our servicer in 2 years. So he's been living there for, you know, 3.5 years without making a payment. So the house is worth about 80. He owes 110, and we're able to buy that loan directly from the hedge fund from anywhere from, $15,000 to $20,000. So when we buy that loan, we then become the bank. And at that point, just as I was talking about at the beginning of the call, there's only three workout strategies. One, if he wants to remain in that property and we can modify it for him, then we can modify the loan. And let me just say this. Even if he owes $110,000, it's worth $80. If I pay $20,000 for that loan and I can write that unpaid balance down, very easily forgive him $30,000 and all of his past due payments, and I can rewrite that loan or modify that loan at $80,000 and get him paying again, that's not only good for me, it's good for him, and it's good for the country as well and the city that he lives in. So, you know, just imagine that, you know, to be able to do something that powerful to help somebody that just couldn't get any help before. So, if the guy has moved on, then obviously he doesn't want the house, but he still owns it. It's just sitting there. So we may do a cash for keys, trying to get a deed in lieu, get him to sign the deed over to us. In that case, we have the property. And the third is we would foreclose. And the stats on that we have within Note School is about 40% of the time we can modify a loan, about 40% of the time, it's going to look like a deed in lieu, and about 20% of the time, we would have to proceed with a foreclosure. But it's not as ugly as most people think it is. It's typically, I just did one in Memphis, Tennessee, on a couple of notes I had there, and it took about 30 days to get it to get the process done, the foreclosure done, and it was about $1,800 on each one of them. So that's really what's happened in the big picture as far as the non-performing side of the business. And it's exciting. It's exciting to be able to buy these notes so inexpensively and then be able to back your way into properties. What do you think so far?
Oh, I like what I'm hearing too, because we're still talking about real estate. So even rehabbers and landlords can easily pick these techniques up to supplement their income or boost their profits. But what's the difference between buying the note versus the property for those people who are brick and mortar, like you mentioned earlier?
Well, obviously, you know, the biggest thing is when we're buying the note, we're buying the financing on the property. So let's just talk about buying a property. So we go in and we find the property, and let's say it's worth about ARV after repair value is about $120,000, and we strike a deal and we can buy this thing for about $80,000. It's worth $120,000. So, you know, we go in, we put our budget together, we've got our ARV minus our $20,000 in repair costs, minus our holding costs, minus our money cost, and by the way, you know, if we don't have the $80,000 that we need to buy it, then we've got to borrow it. If we don't have the $25,000 or $20,000 to fix it, we've got to have that, or we've got to borrow it, and our holding costs and so on. So we deduct all of that, and we deduct our profit, and, you know, we come up with our purchase price on that. And we do the same thing. We can do the same thing with a note that we can with the real estate. But in this case, what we're doing is we're buying the note And when we buy the note, there's only three things that can happen. Just as if you buy the property, you're either going to wholesale or flip the property for a quick profit. You're going to fix the property and resell it and make a profit there. Or you're going to hold it for long term and you're going to fix it and you're going to rent it or do whatever. Well, the same thing with the note. We buy a non-performing note. If we get a modification, then we have a long-term cash flow, and we're not the landlord. We're the bank. So when the guy's air conditioning or his heater breaks and you owe the bank on the property, you don't call the bank and say, hey, my heater doesn't work. No, you call somebody and have them fix it. So we have a repaired or a reperforming note that we can enjoy the cash flow on, and or if we get the property through deed in lieu or through foreclosure, then, you know, what we have is we have the property, we have it at a deep discount, and so instead of being able to buy that $120,000 property for $80,000, you know, we're able to buy it at $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, and then we do the same things with them. We can flip them to another investor who wants to do the rehab. We could rehab them ourselves, obviously. We could rehab them and hold them long-term, either by using them as a rental, or we could resell them and finance the property for the buyer and be the bank. And I found that it's much easier to be the bank than it is the landlord in most cases.
Well, you covered non-performing notes, so what about the other side of the coin? How do we make money in the performing note then?
What I tell everybody as I talk to them about the note business is the sizzle is always in the non-performing side, because, you know, it's all about price. And when we buy at the right price, our exit strategies or the things we can do with these loans are just, they're phenomenal. Okay. So that's really the hot thing that we look at. But to build long-term wealth, the best way that we can do that is through owning performing loans for a long time, you know, for cash flow. And, you know, Scott, cash flow is great. I hear people bragging about their net worth, and I have people, you know, bragging about the equity they have in their properties. But obviously you can't pay your bills with equity, and you can't pay your bills with net worth. But what you do pay them with is obviously cash flow. So what I've found is the best thing for me and most of our students out there is that if we buy a non-performing note and then we can modify that, then obviously we're buying that at such a price. And I always use, let me use a little example here, and this is going to kind of, it's kind of hard to explain over the phone, but when I see you guys this summer up in Indiana, you'll see this and you'll see it in black and white. But recently, I purchased a note on a house and little, you know, working class neighborhood. I purchased the note for about $7,000, and there was about $1,800 in back taxes. And by the way, when we purchase a note and we're purchasing first, 90% of the time, they're past due taxes. So I had about $8,800 in this note. The BPO, the broker price opinion, was about $25,000, Scott. The Zestimate was $58,000. So we know that there's some discrepancy there as far as, you know, the values that are out there. Certainly this little house was worth a lot more than $25,000, but it wasn't worth $58,000. So anyway, this lady had lived in the house for a number of years. Something happened. She got sick. Anyway, she wanted to stay there, and I said, "How much can you afford?" And she said, "Well, I can afford $425 a month. I'm seeking, and I just got approved for Social Security disability." I said, "Great. So you can afford $425 a month. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drop the balance. I'm going to forgive you $22,000 in balance. So we're going to erase $22,000. So instead of you owing $72,000 on this, now you only owe $50,000. So I modified it down from $72,000 to $50,000 for 200 months at 7% interest. So if you took out your handy dandy HP 10B or 12C and you put in $50,000 for 200 months at 7%, what you would come up with would be a $425 payment. The lady was just tickled because now she could stay in her house. and she's got a payment that she can afford, and we've forgiven her all that past due stuff. So what I now have, Scott, is a reperforming loan, which is now, it's paying $425 a month. So, and I've got about $8,800, maybe $9,000 in that. So it doesn't take, you know, a genius to figure out that it doesn't take a whole lot of money to get your money back when you're getting $425 a month. And that's, by the way, and that's net to you because, you know, the property owner's paying the taxes and they're paying the insurance and they're, you know, it's their house. We're the bank and we're not the landlord. So we can either, you know, keep that as a performing note, or if I wanted to, I could sell that performing note, either all or part of that. So I could sell that note to an investor, the $50,000 balance, I could sell that for about, I don't know, in the open market, somewhere around $32,000, $33,000, and that would give an investor about a, I don't know, about a 14% yield. So I had about $8,800, $9,000 in it, so I could sell it, but really the value is in keeping that loan. And then we figured out, okay, well, we've got this $50,000 loan for 200 months, and you heard me mention something, and it's a little bit of an advanced strategy, but we'll talk about it, you know, when I get up there. So what I decided to do on that loan, I sold the first 60 payments. So Scott, what I'm going to just throw out there real quick for you guys is something called a partial, selling a partial on a performing note. So I sold the first 60 payments of $425 to an investor in his IRA. And by the way, I bought that note in my IRA as well. The $8,800 came out of my IRA, and that $425 comes back into my IRA on a monthly basis. But in this case, I said, okay, I'm going to sell the first 60 payments. So I sold the first 60 payments to another investor in their IRA for $18,231. So Scott, are you following me still here, or am I kind of getting a little too deep?
Well, I'm not a numbers guy, but I'm still able to keep up so far.
Good. Okay, so when I sell the 60 payments of $425, which that's going to be, I don't know, about $26,000-$27,000, when I sell that, those first 60 payments of $425 a month for $18,231, that gives that investor a 14% yield, a 14% rate of return on that. And let me tell you something, IRA investors are just, you know, they eat that up. I mean, can you imagine getting a 14% yield when you're, well, we know, Scott, that there's about $35+ billion sitting idle as dry cash in IRA accounts right now, self-directed IRA accounts. So, Scott, I sell the first 60 payments for $18,000. Now, understand, when I sell those payments, that means I don't get a payment until the 61st month. So the guy that buys those first 60 payments gets those 60 payments at $425 a month for 5 years. But remember, I told you that I sold those for $18,000. What did I say I had in the note? I had $8,800 in the original purchase of that note. So I sell the first 60 payments for $18,000. I take my $8,800 investment out of that, and I immediately have a $9,400, $9,200, $9,300 profit. You with me?
Yeah.
So I don't receive a payment for 60 months, but on the 61st payment, something magically happens. I then get payment 61 through payment 200, okay, of $425 a month. So I've sold off a partial. Now, how much money do I have invested in that 140 payments of $425 a month? I have nothing invested in it now because I sold the partial, the first 60 payments, for almost twice as much, or actually twice as much as I paid for it. So I made an initial profit of about $9,000. Plus, I've got 140 payments after this partial purchaser has received his 60 payments, then I have 140 payments of $425 a month. kind of hard to understand or kind of hard to see the numbers when you're not sitting here staring at a screen. But, Scott, that is a – well, you can't even calculate the return on your investment on that because it's just it's phenomenal. You know, over time on that little $8,800 note – over the including the money that I sold the partial for and the 140 payments of $425 a month that I'll receive on the other side of that, that's about a $68,000 total profit. So, Scott, to buy a non-performing note and to get it to be a re-performing note, a performing note, and sell off part of that is just, it's a phenomenal strategy. You can do this in your IRA. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you guys this summer how to basically turn $100 in your self-directed Roth or self-directed 401k into $100,000 or more tax-free. So, you know, we have a real heart for long-term investing and long-term investing with performing notes. God, there's really no other investment that is really is safe. I mean, you know, we can say, wow, everybody's making money in the stock market right now. But, you know, we believe at Note School that, you know, that can't go on forever. And there's going to be an adjustment there. And there are more investors holding part of their assets. As a matter of fact, I think it's about 33% that most big, the top 1% are holding in cash these days, just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. Things are going to change. But anyway, so owning a performing loan is a phenomenal way for long-term wealth building. So I always say that the sizzle is doing the learning the non-performing side of that. And by the way, if I didn't get a modification, Scott, I got the property. I could certainly rehab the property and sell it and finance it for the borrower. Mm-hmm. Okay? I could have, you know, if I would have foreclosed on this when I had $8,800 in it. I could have certainly did a little work on it and sold it for about $50,000 and gotten $10,000 down and had a 10 or 12 or 20 year note at whatever it was. So that would be a phenomenal investment as well. So it just makes total sense to me and to folks after they see what we, understand what we teach that it's a pretty cool way to invest.
Yeah, like you said at the beginning of the call, the investor in another niche can bolt it onto their existing business.
Exactly.
Well, that's a lot of stuff, though, to cover. I mean, some of the things you talked about and the paperwork and the analyzing, is there a resource for investors or other companies to help put all this together?
Absolutely. There are and these companies have been around for a while, and I'm sure that, you know, some of your folks have heard of property preservation companies, component servicing companies. And basically there are companies out there that if I buy a non-performing note, I can really have a component servicing company take care of the whole process for me. And what I mean by that is, you know, instead of me having to call the property owner and try to work out a modification or work out a deed in lieu or then start with the foreclosure process, there are companies out there like Trio, TREO International out in California, great company. FCI Exchange, another company that will do workouts. And basically what they'll do is they will, you know, they're boots on the ground. They'll send out door knockers to see, you know, who's there. And, if there's anybody there, they'll negotiate the modification, under my direction. They will, negotiate a deed in lieu, you know, with the guidelines I lay down. They'll take care of the foreclosure if I have to do that. And or they'll take care of property preservation if I'm going to have to foreclose and it's going to take 2 or 3 months. Well, they'll board it up for me or do whatever I need to do. So that's the great part of this. And to kind of take and pull it back down from the global picture back down to something smaller, you know, what we tell people that train with us, we say, look, you know, you can really, if, you know, we have people in the business, Scott, that they do, they'll buy one note a month, and then we've got people that will do 30 or 40 notes a month. We've got folks that have put together their own mini hedge fund, and they're buying 100 notes at a time, you know, from a, instead of buying one or two, and they have their own little deal that they work out now. So it's really whatever you want to do with it. But really, when you say, okay, what should I do with this, and what kind of time would it take? You know, we tell people, you know, 7 to 10 hours a week. 7 to 10 hours a week. If you'll put in a little time in that and kind of bolt it on to your to what you're doing now. And Scott, I mean, you know, when you say who should be in the note business, well, every real estate investor should be in the note business. It's part of the business. Mm-hmm. Controlling the financing, controlling the paper, and knowing all of the strategies to acquire properties through acquiring the note. And not only that, you know, it's tough for folks out there to get qualified these days to buy a property simply because, you know, their credit may not be great, their debt-to-income ratios may not be as good as it should be. And so we know that about 50% of the people that would go in and apply for a loan just can't qualify. So then that brings us to seller financing and, you know, being able to offer seller financing to folks and just knowing every real estate investor, in my opinion, should know the note business just to be a well-rounded investor.
Now, talking about well-rounded, because we have folks listening right now, all different levels from experience to beginning and all different niches of real estate. But what kind of training do they need to start into this note business?
Well, you know, what we say is obviously, you know, when I come up there, Scott, we're going to talk about, you know, when you'll see all the pictures and all the visuals, and we're going to do case studies and so on. But, you know, we suggest we have a training program, and we train folks in the business, and we have a company called Note School. And Note School is our training business started by a very dear friend of mine by the name of Eddie Speed. Some of the folks on the line will have met Eddie or heard him talk, and very colorful character from Texas and has a real heavy Texas drawl and so on. But we offer a couple of three-day classes. We offer a three-day class on the non-performing side of the business, and we offer a three-day class on the performing side of the business. And so it's two separate three-day live classes. Both of those classes include an online on-demand home study course. And, you know, what we decided was that, you know, the nuts and bolts of the business, it would be better to learn at your own pace through an online on-demand course that comes with a workbook, and it kind of follows all of the nuts and bolts of the business so that when you come to the three-day live class, you have those basics kind of under your belt, and then you can talk about, you know, really how to go out and do the business. And we teach the class. They're very interactive, using case studies, and it just becomes a really great environment for folks to learn in. And we feel that, you know, that it really does put the folks that attend that three-day class in a position to go out and really, you know, profit from the note business, and not only profit in the note business, but to take their real estate bricks and mortar business to the next level. You know, it's really a great business. I have a passion for it. And by the way, you know, as you said at the beginning of the call, I mean, I bought my first property when I was 19 years old. You know, and I still, you know, my dad is 79. I have an 18-year-old son that's in college, and you know, we continue to do rehabs as well. I you know, they enjoy doing that. I like the paper side of it, but you know, I have a passion for seeing, you know, for real estate, and you know, this just kind of was the natural bolt-on for any investor out there. So I just, like I said, anybody that gets into this and just focuses on both sides, the paper side and the brick and mortar side, can really enhance what they're doing now and really take their business to the next level. You know, people talk about, you know, they want their business to be here. They want their business to be here. I want to grow my business. Well, you know, unless you take the drastic measures that people need to take and have that massive, you know, that massive push forward to be able to, or to go for, you know, the business, then, you know, there's a lot of people out there that like to talk about the business that never do the business. But we see that this the note business gives some of those folks that don't have a whole lot of money to invest the ability to invest in non-performing loans in order to, you know, to get the property at a much deeper discount than they would be able to do if they were just buying at a regular auction or trying to find a fix and flip property.
Yeah, and I hear your passion for real estate and teaching it. I'm excited to have you up and hear all the techniques for getting your feet wet in it or going full throttle, because we have a lot of people who have the SIRAs and money just waiting to invest in something like notes, like a great opportunity like notes. And thanks again for spending this time educating us on the opportunity here in notes.
Get this complete event and all supporting educational materials by accessing the members-only Vault of Experts. In the Vault, you will also get other leading experts in real estate education, coaching, and technology to keep you on the leading edge of making money in real estate. The official universally recognized REIA, REI Association.